The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to JFG Tonight. End of the line, Joel says the intellectual controlled up web strikes again. Yeah. It is quite amazing. And they are seething. Laser Fash.
Eric Weinstein is seething.
Laser Fash, thank you for your $35 donation. Yes, Eric Weinstein is seething. And it's because they have tried to... They have tried for years, really, to dehumanize the opposition to Israel. They have tried to make it a psychiatric disorder. You just have a problem. You're angry. You need to be banned. That's what they've been trying to do for many years. And the first wave of censorship kind of worked and then was undermined by Elon. And they're now trying a new method, which was properly labeled by Nick Fuentes as a limited hangout. That is what's happening, really. And Nick Fuentes kind of opened my eyes on this because I've been talking about MartyrMaid for about 2 weeks. In fact, I've been talking about him since back in his Tucker Carlson appearance. And I was kind of enthusiastic about what he was doing because I thought maybe there's some secret sauce to it. Maybe he's subverting intellectual Jewry in a way where he's going to surprise us in the end. But I think it's the opposite now. And Nick Fuentes made a convincing case about it. And it all boils down to the Substack that I had read from MartyrMaid. But because it was spammed with so much boomer crap and stories and feelings, I kind of read it in diagonal, but Nick Fuentes really honed in on what is revealed in this Substack post, and yes, it is bad. It is bad what MartyrMaid is doing, and I'm going to explain it tonight in a rational way, in a way that I hope MartyrMaid can engage with. He doesn't have to comment publicly about it, but I hope he has a listening ear, because... The two important questions in the end is MartyrMaid being recruited and intellectually groomed by the IDW? Is he being intellectually groomed away from the truth? Is he being intimidated in a mafia style in the way intellectual Jewry likes to do? And my answer to this, analyzing his statements, and ultimately, is he siding with the dehumanization and the psychiatrization of a proper truth-seeking analysis of the current political problems of America? And my answer is that yes, he is suffering from all of this. In a subtle way, he tries to get out of it with looking okay, but no, he's not. He's ultimately siding with the very system that is designed to create this limited hangout, to give the impression that a point was engaged with, when in fact it was only partially engaged with, and it was intentionally left out what was the important issue that was raised by the opposition. So you have here the development of a controlled opposition. Whether MartyrMaid is conscious about this or not, I don't care, really, because it's beyond consciousness. It's beyond intent. I think he probably is a good guy inside, but he is showing signs of having been nudged by Endler culture, and I'll explain to you and to him why I think so. And it all dates back, by the way, I noticed this behavior from the very first Tucker Carlson appearance. Pruitt says, Fuentes spoke on this. It is a limited hangout. Also, he has a military history. He glows. Yes. So he tweeted, you know, after 2 weeks of commenting on Martyr Maid, he never cared about me nor about addressing my points that I've done in my show. But I found the right thing that triggered him this morning because he couldn't help comment about this when, yesterday, while I was listening to the Nick Fuentes show, I said, hey, what Nick Fuentes is describing in the relationship between Eric Weinstein and Martyr Maid is a Jewish handler. I've seen it before. I've been reminded of basic... I relived my teenage years listening to the Eminem original CDs and tapes, and I was remembering Steve Berman. Steve Berman. At some point on the CD, there's no more music. Eminem enters an office, and there's this Jewish record salesman. He's like, "Do you know what's happening to me out there?" And Eminem is like, "What's the problem?" And he says, Tower Records told me to shove this record up my ass. Do you know what it feels like to be told to have a record shoved up your ass? I'm going to lose my fucking job over this. Do you know why Dre's record was so successful? He's rapping about big screen TVs, blunts, 40s, and bitches. You're rapping about homosexuals and Vicodin. I can't sell this shit. That was the way Eminem was telling us about the music industry, and in a skit that was parodying it and exaggerating it. He was telling us very early, us whites from the streets, we were smoking blunts and, you know, hanging out to Eminem music, the first white rapper. And he was telling us about something that awakened me back then. There is this Jewish handler culture, and I eventually came to discover that what Eminem was describing in that skit exists across the political sphere, across everyone you hear, everyone you fucking hear, to have an opinion about politics at their Jewish handler. And it's Ye, and it's Eminem, and it's others that have come out about it, and it's Thomas Massey in the domain of politics. What is a Jewish handler? And why is it that I believe Martyr Maid could very well, in good faith, believe that Eric Weinstein is not his Jewish handler? But he's still his. And I will make this case from observations of behavior that I've done on Martyr Maid. So the first rule of Jewish handling is you want to know that it's your Jewish handler. He's going to be acting like your friend. He's going to be acting like a fan. He's going to be slightly grooming you and nudging you in the direction that he wants. And I believe that this is what has been happening with Martyr Maid. The way he has to constantly... First, what was revealed by Nick Fuentes yesterday is that there certainly is a discussion at some point between Eric Weinstein and Martyr Maid on whether they should come out publicly about the fact that they have this relationship. So first, I mean, already one of the characteristics of Jewish handling is that the Jewish handler will put himself in a position where he can determine what you can talk or can't talk about publicly, and what he should talk about on his side, and what you should talk about on your side. This goes into politics. We have traces of this happening for a long time, over a very long period. But there was a time at which, you know, George Bush was starting his campaign, George W. Bush was starting his campaign against the Axis of Evil. And he started by saying, in his first speech, he publicly said, "We will defend Israel against any sort of aggression." He made the campaign of war about Israel and defending Israel. And eventually he was told not to do this. And you can see historically his speeches adjusting, and suddenly it's not about Israel, and suddenly it's about, oh, they attacked America, and suddenly everything becomes about the axis of evil and terrorism in general, but no mention of Israel. So there is a way in which political pressure from AIPAC or equivalent pressures in the music industry or political podcasting sphere, there is a way in which small nudges and discussions can adjust the reality that we perceive to deceive, ultimately, the population about what is the state of things. And the way Martyr Maid constantly retains himself, and I had noted this in the first Tucker Carlson appearance, he reaches a point where, okay, he's describing the migration of the Jews during World War II, Eastern Europe, Germany, invasions, the Soviet Empire putting pressure on all this. And then he arrives at a point and he says, and then, well, the next analysis, I think, might ruffle some feathers. And Tucker Carlson kind of acknowledges, and he says, so I'm better not to say it. He says something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing here. But clearly, and I identified it in the context back then, he was about to say something about the Jews. Something about the Jews and something about how this World War II behavior of Jews at that moment is highly instructive on the current state of things, of civilization. And he couldn't say it. He couldn't say it. And he explicitly said, you know, this will trigger some people, so we better not say it. This is the effect of someone whose speech and mind is controlled. This is a behavior that is deceptive. And it's deceptive because you indicate that you know what's going on, but you won't say it because someone will be triggered by it. This is self-censorship, and it's deceptive. That's my first sign that Martyr Maid is the victim of Jewish handler culture. The second sign is what Nick Fuentes revealed yesterday, which is that we know at least of one discussion where they started arguing or saying, should I go out and say about our relationship or should I not? And I don't know that Martyr Maid had any specific... I think that Martyr Maid answered to Eric Weinstein something along the lines of, for your own mental health, maybe you shouldn't. So basically, Martyr Maid was giving the white card to Eric Weinstein to come out about it or not. And Eric Weinstein felt compelled to come out publicly to defend his friend. That is another sign of Jewish handler culture. Is you're having discussion about what you will reveal to the public with people who are influencing your content, who are talking about your content with you. You are having discussions of secrecy and deception toward the wider public. That is a sign of a Jewish handler relationship right there. What will we reveal to the Goyim together? Now, knowing, of course, that Martyr Maid is Goyim himself, he defines himself as a Christian, and he appeals to Christian values in his Substack. But he appeals to it, he appeals to them in a very subversive manner. The third sign of being influenced as part of an enterprise of thought control and nudging is that Martyr Maid also was, he had already acknowledged this on Tucker, but Nick Fuentes highlighted again that Martyr Maid was an arms dealer. He was an arms dealer who, in his own Substack post, says that he was kind of desensitized to reality by his experience. So here's a man who's been in the business of selling. And already, if you're in the business of selling, and if it's international, there's going to be a Jew at the entry and a Jew at the exit. You're going to deal with arms with Israel. You're going to deal with arms that eventually serve current, active, hot genocides. That is another sign to me that coming from this culture, he was highly exposed to networks of Jews, of pro-Zionist entities, of Thiel, of Eric Weinstein, and now suddenly it all makes sense. How does a random geek podcaster who does a history buff, how does this guy get selected while also holding some revisionist light interpretations? How is it that this guy in 2025, when Nick Fuentes was pointing out that people were jailed for thinking these things, how is it that this guy has it right to get into Tucker Carlson and Joe Rogan within the span of a few months? Well, you have your answer. He is a protege of the Thiel Network. And the Thiel Network has been having access to controlling Joe Rogan guests and perhaps Tucker Carlson also. And we know also that Eric Weinstein, as a friend, he is pushy. We have this report from Mike Cernovich of his behavior where he was telling Mike Cernovich, if you can shut up about this, that, and this, I can get you on Joe Rogan. Now, that's the kind of private relationship that I expect from Eric Weinstein. Since we've seen him having this behavior elsewhere, he is a man who is trying to nudge the conversation in a direction, and it's the direction of global Jewry and Israel. So I think that the evidence is quite strong already, if it wasn't even of the martyr maid's own admission that there is a form of extortion to which he is subjected, a subtle one, perhaps one that works through the positive of friendship rather than the negative of threats, but one that definitely is changing his discourse, and we've seen it on the Tucker Carlson when he chose not to go there. Not to go there at a moment where he had built a beautiful crescendo that was giving us a beautiful understanding of World War II, and he cuts it with, so now we should stop. What? He was titillating the audience. Oh my god, I understand everything now. Oh, tell me what's the lesson. Now we should stop, because if I say more, there's people who are going to be triggered. What? This is history? And it goes back to what the fuck is history, because history, I've been reading history books recently because of this whole martyr maid thing and the fact that it has blown up on Joe Rogan and Douglas Murray. I started reading some of World War II history, not that I care, but just to see what is history really, because I'm a hard scientist. And I believe that history can, in principle, be made as a strong, hard science at times. Where its most beautiful expression for history is where you would look at the past, see patterns, name those patterns, treat these patterns as mechanisms of a biological or social nature, or both, and then make predictions about the future. Say, you know, how the Roman Empire fell. That's what we know about how it fell. That's what could happen to America. That kind of thing. History is as good as a hard science when it starts making predictions, when it starts having models. But history is also a moral game. It's a moral game that is played by societies to tell themselves stories and to root their children into a vision of the world. And that's where it becomes extremely important. It's that it has this double role. History is about the truth, but history is also an occasion to manipulate the truth or to shape it just subtly enough that it changes the outcome of what you do. Nick Fuentes said as much yesterday. So that's where truth starts to matter a lot. It's because which conceptions you have of World War II will change your view of the current world and of the current menace that pans over America. And therefore, it is a field of moral, political game, and ethical games, and manipulation, and deception. Now, I think it's pretty cheap what Martyr Maid said, because I identified in his relationship with Eric Weinstein. I said this looks like Jewish handling. This is Eric Weinstein being the Jewish handler of Martyr Maid. And who knows, by the way, what kind of money flows must happen for the Steel protege to every single time make it to Joe Rogan. Is it promises from Eric Weinstein? Is it Eric Weinstein telling Joe Rogan, hey, you should check out this guy, I'm friends with him? Or are there literal amounts of money, secret contracts that guarantee some degree of exposure? I don't know which one it is. But it's not random that so much of the Thiel network gets an amplifying voice on Joe Rogan. It is absolutely not random. This is caused and engineered. So I think that I have made a case that the Jewish handling relationship here is well rooted. There is evidence for it. There is evidence of self-censorship. There is evidence of guilt in the way Martyr Maid speaks. There is evidence of restraint. And you're not going to tell me that being friends with Eric Weinstein and talking about all these things privately and saying, should I say this, should I say that? You're not going to tell me that this doesn't influence this guy every second he speaks. Because it does. I know human cognition. I know what it is to carry an inner guilt. And it doesn't take much. It doesn't take Eric Weinstein reviewing his entire shtick and controlling every sentence or word. It's much more subtle than this. But when you're out and you start self-censoring on what's obviously the subject that concerns Eric Weinstein, yes, that is a Jewish handling relationship. So it's pretty cheap for my attack, which was justified in fact, for Martyr Maid to do his cheap Wikipedia search. That's what they all do, by the way. All of the Thiel proteges, they always grab a whole story about JF. And it's like, oh, I found the big flaw in his argument. JF literally took money from Jeffrey Epstein, and he claims that Eric Weinstein is my Jewish handler. Apparently, a deadly peanut allergy is not sufficient reason to avoid the gallery. I don't know what he refers to with the gallery here. Is it some aspect of American culture? Are there peanuts distributed in galleries? I don't know what that is. But I kind of understand what he's trying to say. He's trying to say JF is hypocritical, or he has here a weird position where he's been given money by Jeff Epstein and yet he takes issue with my relationship with Eric Weinstein. And my answer to this is absolutely. I can hold these two things to be true, and I hold them to be true, because you don't know the story between me and Jeff Epstein. Okay, so the peanut gallery is a derogatory way to refer to people on the sidelines making comments. Well, I'm not on the sideline, Martyr Maid. I've been involved in political long-form discussion since before you were, years before you started. I was already in this business, and I was a leader of this business. I was one of the first live streamers in the world, period. I invented live streaming as you know it today. And in fact, I invented edgy live streaming and public engagement on taboo subjects in the arena of live streaming. So fuck off with your reference that I'm a gallery man with a peanut allergy. I stand by a record that is much longer than yours, my friend. I streamed before Joe Rogan, okay? And I streamed on one subject, which connects us, the subject of Jews. So I do have a dog in this fight. I have been thinking about these issues for more than 10 years now. Now, this comment on Jeffrey Epstein, it lacks an insight into the actual facts of my relationship with Jeff Epstein. I was seeing that the world was controlled by billionaire Jews, and I was thinking, I want to take a chop of that money and then fuck them up with it. When I took the money from Jeff Epstein, it was on the condition, of course, that he would have no control over my ideological pursuits and my freedom of speech. And eventually that came to annoy him. That's why he didn't renew his funding of me the second year. That's one interesting fact. See, that makes it very different from your relationship with Eric Weinstein. I was not dependent on Jeff Epstein, and I was pulling this as a stunt and as an attempt to say, hey, there's this guy out there, seems to be irregular behavior with women, but I didn't know back then that he was basically running a ring of pedophilia or whatever. So I was like, there's this bizarre guy. He seems to be in this Jewish machine of controlling who speaks on the public space. I'm going to make myself a public persona, and I'm going to drain money from him. The money is going to be taken from his bank account and will come into mine. And then I'm going to do what I want to do with it. It wasn't long before Jeff Epstein detected me, let me tell you. It wasn't long before he said, oh, this is a guy I can't keep on the plantation. I wanted to test that system. I wanted to gain knowledge of it. And I wanted to do an experiment also. I was seeing that he was, back then what I thought was he was just loose with women. And I put myself in the idea of I'm going to try to teach a Christian value to these Jews, these billionaire Jews. I'm going to try to get into the life of Jeff Epstein. I'm going to try eventually to cause a meeting between him and me. And I'm going to try to convince him to revert to monogamous marriage and to have one wife and to make babies with her. Now, it didn't work that way. It didn't work that way. But I wanted to test if I was able to do it. Now, before I was even able to attempt, he detected that I was a free thinker. He denied me funding for the next for the second year. And the feds got to him so quick that I couldn't really push my vision of him as being a potential good husband, that he should marry one wife and stop having sex with all these women. And then I experienced one aspect of the Jewish handling culture. Thankfully, my naivete protected me from it. But 1 year after he had denied me funding, I think he still thought that I was perhaps a good guy, that I could be saved. And he had me hired. He had me sent a proposal of hiring by the Victoria's Secret company that Lex Wessner controls. He had the people at this company send me a, out of nowhere, I receive an email, JF, do you want to be an employee for us? Your job is going to be to look at naked models wearing underwear and judge, you know, beautiful, not beautiful. It was like, what? You want to pay me $80,000 a year to watch naked Victoria's Secret models and work on marketing with them? Are you fucking kidding me? I was like, I didn't understand then because I didn't know the Lex Wessner full connection to Jeff Epstein. But it's exactly what I was curious about. See, engaging with these circles, I wanted to know what is the degree of extortion happening here. Because these guys are everywhere. They're on every podcast. How does that happen? Well, it happens in this subtle way of giving little jobs to, oh yeah, he's a good guy, let's get him in the right place. Let's get him in the right place. These little rewards. And it makes me think a lot, Martyr Maid, about your Substack post, because you talk about how, you don't want to go the anti-Semitism route because you have children, you have a wife. Well, what the fuck is this dichotomy, first? And second, it makes me think that you may be... you may be on the payroll here somewhere, because when I see how these guys reward loyalty. They reward it with basically promises of sex and dreams and money. Now, I was so naive when I received that email, I answered to the Victoria's Secret people, look, it seems that what you're offering to me is the dream job. I would love to do it, but being a father, I have some obligations and I just can't move to the state you want me to move to. And so I have to say no. I have to pursue my family life as a priority. So isn't that interesting how they reward in this network? Anyways, all this to say, the fact that I received money from Jeff Epstein makes me especially well positioned to comment on your relationship with Eric Weinstein, because I know how that works. I've been engaging with this network just out of curiosity, just to see how far it goes. And just the little taste that I've had of it, it gives me the old image of what's happening in America. It's selective job giving, it's selective cuddling, grooming of adult human beings to nudge them in the right way. And I think that this paragraph in the Substack, having been highlighted by Nick Fuentes, is particularly relevant. So he's telling to the right wing, do not fall for anger. Do not fall for anti-Semitism. He says, hatred will ruin our souls, whether or not our target has it coming. That is not to say that Jews deserve your hatred, only that you shouldn't enjoy it, even if you think they do. Even if you're right, it won't save you. So here's a first, extremely worrying statement. That Darryl Cooper is so much within the moral reframing of World War II and of everything he does, really, that he has abandoned the pursuit of the truth. And this is what differentiates a guy like this, just a history buff, he just wants to process words from the past. And a truth seeker. Because the truth seeker knows that there must be models, there must be ways in which the Western civilization and its interaction with the Jews, with these repeated migrations of the Jews, there must be a model there. There must be something happening. And of course, the the classical internet meme around this is, you've been kicked out of 109 countries, blah, blah, blah. That's kind of the shortcut to it, but it's the beginning of a model here of saying, is there something here? Is there some incompatibility fundamentally that systematically leads the Jews to want to have too much power and systematically creates a pushback that leads them to feel unwelcomed in the place that they use to control? Now, that's where we move from history into the domain of hard science and the truth. And cognitive science and genetic science, is there such a thing? And from an evolutionary perspective, it would make absolute sense. And yes, Sneed Poster highlights the culture of critique by Kevin MacDonald. Yes, evolutionarily, that would totally make sense that certain subsets of society evolve special skills, some of them to manage, some of them to control, some of them to escape, some of them to deceive. All of it, happening again and again, becomes a model of history in the relationship between the Jews and the nations that they control. And why is it that inevitably the Jews are this small fraction? Why is it that they can't have 600 million babies, that they're always this small crew of elites that can only really act? They are such small numbers that they can only interact with the physical world via human proxies, Christian proxies. All of these are very important questions, but when Darryl Cooper writes, even if you're right, it won't save you, what I see is a subversive appeal to Christian values, saying, you know, even if you find the truth about the world, what does that matter? What does that matter? And I was brought to quotes of the Bible about the truth. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth. There is something here about, there is something interesting about, don't self-deceive. Don't come to care so much about the words that your actions aren't aligned with the truth anymore. Let us love with actions and in truth. So let us not be hypocritical. If there is a problem in the current constitution of power in the US, let us say it to the people who hold that power that there is a problem. I think that the Bible appeals, if you want to quote the Bible and if you want to appeal to Christian values, I do think that the Bible appeals to be truthful and show your love and respect in the actions rather than in the deceptive words, the lies. So don't cradle the Jews into a fake version of the truth to make them more comfortable. That is what the Bible appeals us to do. And most importantly, the follow-up of that sentence that Nick Fuentes was also highlighting, even if you're right, it won't save you. And it won't make a difference to the real people in your life who need a spouse, parent, sibling, or friend who isn't seething with anger and resentment over an abstract issue involving people you'll never meet. Whoa. This is more than I'm giving up the truth because it won't save me. This is, I want to live in the lie. And this I would argue, I mean, if you're going to argue within Christianity, this is anti-Christian. There's many things that are bad in this sentence, but first there's the false dichotomy. So he's phrasing it as either you pursue the truth about the state of Jewish power in America, or you're a good husband. Well, what the fuck is this? Either you pursue the truth, or you're a good father. Martyr Maid, I will tell you, I live a great family life. I am a father and a boyfriend, so, and I do not... There is no way in which my pursuit of the truth every day on this show for the last 10 years has made my life, my family life, has been a burden to my family life. And the fact is, what you are invoking here is basically a subtle form of invoking of cancel culture. You're saying that wives are justified in dumping their anti-Semite husbands. You're saying that if husbands pursue truth to that extent, they went too far and they are bad fathers and bad husbands. This is extremely worrying. First because the values that you appeal to, the Christian values that you say are motivating all of your break that you're taking now, these Christian values, you misunderstand them. The Bible doesn't say lie about Jews because it will make you a better husband. It tells you, in fact, pursue the truth beyond politeness of the word. Pursue the truth with your actions, even if it ruffles some feathers. The Bible is telling you, don't do what you've been doing on Tucker Carlson. Now, of course, I'm not a priest. In fact, I'm an atheist. So I'm not merely going to invoke Christian values here, but it's very bizarre to see someone basically subvert Christianity in exactly the way in which the Jews would want. This is where it's worrying, because here you are under Jewish extortion, Jewish grooming, Jewish coaching, pursuing Jewish lies, and saying, I'm a Christian. That's why I have to follow these rules. That's why I have to follow this path. And ultimately, this path is a misunderstanding that you frame in this whole post, that there is no such thing as a mentally healthy anti-Semite. You say it in detoured ways. You first say there is no such thing as a moderate anti-Semite, but then you move on to basically suggesting that there is no such thing as a good spouse, a good parent, or a good sibling, or even a good friend, who also has reached truthful conclusions about the state of Jewish power in America. The fact is, the state of Jewish power in America, you perceive it as a hateful pursuit. But you don't know that. You don't know what's inside our hearts, the people who have been pursuing this question. I can tell you that I'm a very loving guy. I am not a man motivated by anger. Sometimes I can perform anger on my show, you know, oh these leftists, and their blue hair. That, you know, I can perform some sort of offense to the things I would want to change in society. But the question of whether there is too much Jewish power in America right now is a factual question. It's a history of the present question, subject to hard evidence and subject to an answer, yes or no. And it is not anger. You cannot just motivated by anger uproot your life and pursue a self-destructive pursuit of truth that will last for the rest of your life. Because we know when we get into that business that we're sacrificing a lot. There's no way I can be employed at McDo next week. Even, you know, some people don't understand our business. When we start engaging on political edgy subject and we're subject to cancel culture, my loved ones were sometimes coming to me and saying, well, what about if you shut up on your show for about a month? This is the kind of thing I've heard from girlfriends, from my mom, from people around me. What if you were to shut up for a year? Oh, you do not understand. Once you go that way, you become attacked under so many angles that even the most well-intended person will feel there must be something wrong about this guy. And I'm watching you, Martyr Maid, because you've done a first Wikipedia search and, oh, Jeff Epstein funds this guy. I'm watching you because every time we have these Christians that are supposedly better at engaging, that supposedly are against cancel culture, their mask always falls when they interact with me, because there is a lot of stuff out there that is a lie about me. Much of it in the Jewish press. Much of it, if you follow the three branches from my Wikipedia smears, you'll find out that there's this Jewish outlet here, this Jewish journalist here, this Jewish there. You'll find out that basically, when you start asking this question, the question of Jewish power in America, you have a bunch of people who appear in your life, and they all happen to be Jewish. That's why I've been interested in your case, because you were so smooth. You were so much at the border of it. You were kind of a test subject to me for whether the Judea would go at war with you, basically. So yeah, and I'm still interested. But this way in which you psychiatrize the issue is the wrong way to go. And here's another way in which you are siding kind of with the system that dehumanizes people who are truth seeking. You are finding your own reasons to cancel Nick Fuentes, finding your own reasons not to engage with his points and not to speak with him. And you feel that you are entitled to respect of your way of canceling him because it's not as bad as what the others do. See, I've seen many in your tweets, you say, for example, that Dick Fuentes is just an asshole. So I won't speak with him because he's been an asshole to one of the persons who engaged with him, Dave Smith, who hasn't canceled him, who hasn't written hit pieces about him. This way of saying someone should receive credit or special treatment or praise for merely not dehumanizing an ideological opponent is siding with the system of cancel culture. Because you're saying, well, if all of these other people are writing hit pieces about him, and here's this guy who's not, he should be respected for it. He should receive praise. Nick Fuentes should retain his hassle-ry or his arguments against him. Well, no. What should be said is that Dave Smith is the only non-dehumanizer in a system that is extremely sick and that is targeting ideological opponents like a fucking mafia. And the 99 people who write hit pieces about Nick Fuentes don't make Dave Smith a special individual for not writing hit pieces. Or for wanting to engage with Nick Fuentes. It should be the default expectation. But here we are, Martyr Maid, making arguments like, hey, you know, at least we're tweeting about him. We're not ignoring him totally, like he's less than human. No, you cannot receive praise for having the default Christian behavior of welcoming the other and of respecting them unless they attack you. Because it's default behavior. It should start there. And the fact that it doesn't start there, the fact that the public conversation doesn't start there, is an engineered feature of Jewry. It is what Eric Weinstein wants to do when he says it right here. In all seriousness, X has become a hellhole of mostly small, largely anonymous accounts spewing hatred at Jewish people. I have no idea why these small disposable accounts. See, disposable. This entire view of the world is disposable. It's not human. It's not even worth it in the conversation. I have to be protected at all costs. I also don't know whether Elon Musk is aware of just how bad it is. And I was reminding Eric Weinstein here. A year ago, he was saying, when Elon Musk was rising in power and he was freeing everyone and he was allowing some degree of discussion of the Jewish question, Eric Weinstein wanted to be with the flow then. And he said this: I want anti-Semites to have free speech with a small cultural punishment. So there he was standing with the trend of, hey, yeah, let these anti-Semites speak, you know? They're evil, but let them speak. But now he doesn't want to let them speak because I believe that he has realized, wow, there is a lot of them. I mean, if you use my definition of anti-Semite as an Israeli, man, everyone is anti-Semite. Oh, yeah, well, welcome to the state of things you've created. With this obsession around anti-Semitism. And when do we get to talk about this? When do we get to review how somehow in a Jewish-controlled nation, this particular subject has been made a hyper-criminal subject beyond criminality, where you're going to get your bank account canceled? Now, if you had killed someone, you wouldn't get your bank account canceled. But if you're an anti-Semite, you get your bank account canceled. If you rape a child, okay, you can still have a bank account. But if you're an anti-Semite, you can't. If you're a murderer, you can have a Twitter account. But you can't be an anti-Semite and have a Twitter account. So here the mask is falling on all these guys. Eric Weinstein has always been an engineer, a social engineer, who has tried this ridiculous first attempt with the IDW. Nick Frontes was hilariously mocking the IDW back in the days, these pictures that they took in the fucking forest. I had made, back then I had made a parody of this. People will remember I was on camera eating plants. I was like, I'm a public intellectual. I eat plants. He had made this ridiculous puff piece in New York Times where it was like the intellectual dark web. These people, Nick Ferrantes was saying, how could such an amalgam of different people get together? A mystery. Of course, they were all Jewish. And Eric Weinstein has been trying to extend the olive branch to the opposition to Jewry. And he's been doing it in the form of, oh yeah, let them speak, when he had no choice. But now that he has some power and wants to wage it against Elon, now he's asking Elon to ban all of them. So we're all back to 2018. Censorship demands are back. And they're back from a bunch of people who have been trying to usurp the discussion by placing themselves as the gatekeeper of the center-right, of a form of illuminated centrism that somehow still takes for Israel, somehow still doesn't name a genocide by its name, a genocide, that somehow continues to be controlled by the very same entities in 2025 on the web, the very same entities and the very same sets of interests that controlled cable TV. That control literally the cable TV that you would advance through channels like 3, 4, 5, 7. All of this is extremely relevant. And to see you make this false dichotomy between either you're sick in the head and you see this truth, or you ignore this truth and then you're a mentally healthy person. And you're a good husband, and you're a good spouse, and you're a good father, and you're a good friend. That tells me that you are, ultimately, you have been cucked by social tuning. And that is so sad, bro, because there you are, you know everything. I mean, you know Jewish power. You say it in the text. You know it's there. You know it's a fact of current American life. But you won't engage on the question, does it make sense that 1% of the population controls our judiciary, our two sides of politics, any option we have, as well as our cultural thoughts through podcast? How can you justify morally not going there? Well, you have to do what Sigmund Freud had been doing, which is you have declared in your head that there is this mental disorder that's called anti-Semitism, and it will make you sick and it will make you obsessed and it will destroy your life, and you have decided to kneel in front of that inner extortion. It's very clear in your writing. You have decided that it wasn't worth your role as a spouse and a parent because you've been led to believe that there was no choice between this dichotomy that you've created. I'm here to tell you that there is a choice. You can be a good father and acknowledge the reality of your current historical era. You can be a good spouse and face that truth. And you are big enough that the attacks that will be deployed against you in result will never hurt you. They will not hurt you to the point of making you incapable of going forward. You'll be able to continue. He basically says the voice of Satan. There are ways to be critical of organized Jewish power without letting it consume you. Yeah, but you're not doing this. He says any voice encouraging you to hate is the voice of Satan. But again, this is a false this is a strawman. We're not asking you to hate. We're asking you to be in connection with reality of your current historical era and to apply the maximum capacity of your historical analysis to predict and understand the world of today. And you're not doing this. We saw you do. We saw you self-censor on Tucker. We saw you not go to a place where you knew you would generate punishment against you by the Jews. That was very clear. But there's something wrong in thinking that these hints of truths that you have in your mind, that you know about, are the voice of Satan. That's what's wrong. You need to change this perception. It's the truth trying to rise, and the voices of Satan are those that make you believe that this truth will make you a bad father and a bad Christian. Blimpy Supervisor says, I criticize the Jews and do other things, bro. It hasn't consumed me. Exactly. I'm still very good at Dota. I still play Dota. I played Dota before I talked about the Jews. I will play Dota after I talked about the Jews. We have to stop psychiatrizing, because that is exactly what Sigmund Freud had been doing. You take your political opposition and you say, oh, they have some defect and they need to be medically treated rather than humanly considered. And that's the beginning of cancel culture. That's the beginning of injustice and of a society that creates a machine rather than a machine to seek the truth, a machine for self-deception, and a machine for the satisfaction of the economic interests that have funded it. Blimpy Supervisor says, and Dota doesn't accuse JF of being consumed by the game. Yeah, I played much more Dota in my life than I even thought about the Jews or talked about the Jews, let me tell you. It's a matter of, can you live with yourself? And unfortunately, I don't want to be demeaning to Martyr Maid here. I think he's a great guy. I think he's a straight white guy of the kind that we barely have anymore, you know? You know, this kind of militaristic, you know that if you ask him a question in his face, you know he's going to answer with the truth. You know that he's tortured when he's self-censored. You know that he would want to go there. And you know that there's something very, very good inside of him. These kind of guys they used to be the basis of civilization, of white civilization. But more and more, we don't have these guys, and they're transitioning to a form of female cuckery. And, oh, sorry, I can't count the number of Jews on Joe Rogan because I have a wife. How do you summarize the state of the fucking matriarchy better than this? I mean, it captures the fucking hell that we live in right now. I can't count the number of Jews on Joe Rogan because I have a wife. Holy shit, are we in fucking shit. Anyways, guys, that is all I had to say today. It was an important message. We're going to talk about the more little news here and there, maybe next show, maybe tomorrow. But perhaps it's better that this show remains just a show about my message to Martyr Maid, because it is what matters the most right now in the public space, is that we have this guy oscillating. You know, I remember Milo being being good to right-wing speech at some point in his life. And then I remember a point where he was connecting with these Peter Thiel people, and then I remember a point where suddenly he started being interested in my private life and accusing me of doing this and that and killing Mama JF or raping a 19-year-old. All lies. And I feel that Martyr Maid is kind of at the fence. He's at the Mordor, you know, deciding, do I throw the ring in the lava or do I not? I hope that ultimately he pursues the truth. And the truth cannot be piecemealed, obfuscated. As soon as you start taking a subset of the truth and you say, oh, well, I will apply medical criteria. I will say, I don't want to be sick. I don't want to be obsessed about this truth. Well, the sickness has already entered you, because the sickness is precisely the obfuscation. It is the willful denial of the current state of society. As a hard scientist, I'm appealing to you, Martyr Maid, to do better. Pursue the truth. And you'll be as useless as the academia if you let yourself be convinced by this kind of intimidation.